Spanning his 30-plus year career in Las Vegas, world-famous magician Lance Burton performed an incredible 15,000 shows, grossing hundreds of millions of dollars in the process. He appeared on The Johnny Carson Show 10 times and had 4 of his own network television specials. Wonderfully versatile, he not only does the big illusions, but close-up magic expertly as well. But he gave it all up at the height of his fame some 5 years ago, with only occasional appearances since then. I'm very happy to be speaking with magician Lance Burton. Welcome, Lance.
Hey, Jack. I'm glad to be with you.
Congratulations. I just found out that yesterday you won the Magic Circle's David Devant Award, awarded to those who have made a significant contribution in advancing the art of magic or who have given outstanding service to magic internationally.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, for those who aren't familiar, the Magic Circle is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, magic organizations in the world. It was started in London, England, well over 100 years ago, and one of the founders was David Devant and John Neville Maskelyne, two great English magicians. And when I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, I was crazy about magic. When I was 10 years old, for Christmas, instead of getting the normal toys that kids ask for, I wanted magic things.
Mm.
And one of the gifts I got for Christmas was a magic book called Our Magic by Maskelyne and Devant. And I read that book and learned magic out of that book and have reread it many times over the years. So David Devant, although he's not known by the public nowadays, back in his day, he was the big magician, especially over in England.
Just before your last performance in Las Vegas, you said, "I've worked nonstop for 31 years. Saturday night, when the curtain comes down, I'm a free man." Do you still feel that way?
I'm having a ball. I enjoyed doing the shows every night. And I did 15,000 shows, live shows, in my career, and I had a great time doing it. But as I got to the point in life where it's like, you know, there's other things I wanted to do also. And the past couple of years, I've been working on directing my first feature film, and we finished the film. I co-wrote it with my buddy Michael Goudeau, and I directed it and starred in it. It's called Billy Toppet, Master Magician, and it's a little... it's a little comedy, independent film that we produced, and it's a family movie, and we made our festival premiere a couple months ago at the Wild Rose Film Festival in Des Moines, Iowa, and we won 6 awards, including the award for Best Family Film. So it's very exciting, and I hope to, now I'm working on the distribution to get it out there so everyone can see it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just wanted to say, my entire career, all those shows and the TV shows and now the movie, none of that would have been possible if it hadn't been for The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I know they're releasing the DVDs, a bunch of DVDs from The Tonight Show now. So I just want to publicly say, you know, thank you to Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show, because that was really the launching pad for my entire career.
So you were on Johnny's show 10 times. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, The Tonight Show. Yeah, I was on 10 times with Johnny, and then 10 times with Jay Leno, and it was always very exciting because I grew up watching Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, and I think I discovered Johnny Carson when I was in high school. And I remember many nights, my mom always used to tell the story. She would find me in front of the TV, and she would say, you know, "Lance, you got school in the morning, you know, go to bed." And I would, "Oh, Mom, let me just watch the monologue." And so I idolized, you know, Johnny Carson. My first appearance on The Tonight Show was October 28th, 1981. And you always remember the date of your first Tonight Show. even if you forget your wife's birthday or your girlfriend's birthday, you never forget the date of your first Tonight Show. But what happened
was... Did you get
to
sit on the couch? Did you?
No, you know what? I never did the panel. with Johnny. I did with Jay Leno, but I always, they always had me on and perform. But my first Tonight Show, I was in L.A. I had just driven from Louisville, Kentucky, where I grew up, to Los Angeles, and I was 21 years old, and I was in Los Angeles because I had been hired to perform on a show there called the It's Magic Show. It was a big annual magic show that the founders of the Magic Castle, Bill and Milt Larson, put on every year. And it was because I was there to do that show, they got me on The Tonight Show. So the talent coordinator from The Tonight Show, Jim McCauley, came down and saw my act on the preview night, the night before we opened. Uh-huh. And I talked to him after the show, and he says, "How long is your act?" And I said, "It's 12 minutes." And he said, "Well, you can't do the whole 12 minutes on The Tonight Show, but bring the whole act with you, and you'll do the whole act in rehearsal, and then we can figure out, you know, which parts you're going to do for the broadcast." So the next day, I showed up at NBC, and we did the rehearsal, and I did the whole act in rehearsal. And then after the rehearsal was over, I was standing there on stage talking to the stage manager, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a hand coming towards me. So I just instinctively turn and reach out and shake the hand. And now I look up and I realize that it's Johnny Carson on the end of the hand. And of course, I was overwhelmed. Here I am meeting Johnny Carson in person. And he was really extremely nice and extremely complimentary of the act. And we didn't talk very long, maybe 60 seconds, and he left. And then about 2 minutes later, the talent coordinator came over and he said, "Lance, I just talked to Johnny. Johnny was watching your rehearsal. Johnny said, let the kid do the whole 12 minutes.
Oh.
And so they rearranged the show. They put me on as the first guest and let me do 12 minutes, which I was told is the longest any act had ever done on the Tonight Show. And then the second guest on, after commercial, the second guest was Dick Cavett. Dick Cavett and Johnny Carson were both magicians growing up as kids did magic. So now the second segment, they sat there on the panel and talked about me and talked about my act and talked about magic and about the Magic Castle for a whole segment. So it was the greatest launching pad any young entertainer ever had. To start his career, and it was that appearance that led to my first job in Las Vegas.
How good a magician was Johnny? Could he do the tough sleight of hand?
You know what, Johnny, and I didn't discover this till years later because I always, you know, knew Johnny did magic, but I had never actually seen him with my own eyes. But years later, after I'd been on the show, I was watching some TV show, and they were doing a thing on Johnny, and they had dug up some archival footage of Johnny as a teenager. So he couldn't have been more than 18 years old, and I always thought Johnny did comedy magic because you know, he was such a great comedian. No, this footage of Johnny, he was doing really, really hard stuff. And he was doing it really well. It was a really beautiful, complicated, tough sleight of hand magic, and he was doing it and made it look absolutely effortless. He was really a fine magician.
I could imagine Cavett being and Carson feeling very competitive with each other over that. you got a special gift from Johnny's widow. Could you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, you know what? When Johnny passed away, he still had in his home in Malibu all of his magic props and equipment from when he was a kid growing up. And his nephew, Jeff, who runs Carson Productions now, Jeff inherited all of the magic props. Now, Jeff's not a magician, so he didn't really know what to do with it. So he called my buddy Mike Caveney, who is a terrific magician in L.A. And a magic historian, and he runs the Los Angeles Magic History Conference, which is held there every 2 years. And so he calls Mike and says, "Mike, I don't know what to do with all this stuff. Can you help me? Give me some advice." And so Mike goes out and looks at the props, and Mike says, "Well, look, you know, these things aren't necessarily valuable or rare. I don't think they're worth a lot of money, but the value is that these belong to Johnny Carson. So if you auctioned them off, I don't think you'd get that much money that it would matter. You know, so I don't know what you want to do." But anyway, at the end of the day, Jeff decided he was going to give the props away to some of the guys, some of the magicians who had appeared on The Tonight Show and the guys that Johnny really liked. And it was 5 years ago at the Los Angeles History Conference. They surprised me. They brought this out and presented it to me. And it's a prop made of wood by the Abbott's Magic Company, probably sometime in the 1940s, and it's called Abbott's Modern Square Circle. And it belonged to Johnny Carson when he was a kid, and presumably he used it in his act when he was performing for groups back then. And so I have the prop on display in my home, and I have a framed letter from Johnny's nephew presenting it to me, and it's written on Johnny Carson's personal stationery. So it's one of my most prized possessions. And
now you grew up in Kentucky with another famous magician, Mack King.
Yeah,
I think you were boyhood buddies, right? Is that
Mack
the story?
King and I met at the Louisville Magic Club when we were 14 years old.
Wow!
And because of magic, because we lived on opposite sides of town, but we became friends. And then when I got my driver's license, when I turned 16, then we got to hang out together, you know, outside of the magic club, because I could drive over and we could hang out and do magic together.
And did you guys have a mentor? We both.
My mentor, the first magician I ever saw, was a terrific magician from Glasgow, Kentucky, who lived there in Louisville, named Harry Collins. And Harry was my mentor. And I believe Mack King saw Harry perform when he was a kid also. He may not have been the first magician Mack ever saw, but he was certainly an influential one. Mack and I, he's my oldest friend, and we both wound up moving to Las Vegas and both wound up headlining our own shows in Las Vegas. And Mack is still performing. He's over at Harrah's Hotel in Las Vegas, and you can see his show at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock daily.
Now that's a friend. you were known for, among other things, your famous dove act. Are they hard to take care of, and do they always do what you want them to do?
No, animals don't always do what you want. They're doves are really not difficult to take care of. You just have to, you know, make sure you pay attention to the basic things, you know, the fresh water and food and clean cage and veterinary care. And I still have my doves. They're here at the house, they're all retired. They're all very old. They're all over 20.
How long do they live?
You know, here's the thing. In the wild, they'll live 3 to 7 years. But my birds are all over 20 years old. Some of them approaching 30 years old. And that's about the oldest I've ever heard of a dove living is, you know, approaching 30. But they're all seniors now, they don't move around too much. They don't do shows anymore.
There are dangers involved with working with doves, I understand. Do you want us to talk about that at all?
The dangers, they could fly away in the middle of the show.
Well, no, that I understand, but I'm talking about, for instance, David Oliver's situation.
Oh, yeah. Now, apparently, and I've never had any problem, knock on wood, but our friend David Oliver developed lung disease that it was said came from the breathing in the dust that the birds shed on a regular basis, the kind of the dander that comes off of the animals. And so that could be concerning. We've at the show, the birds, when I was doing the show, we had air filtration system there in the room where the birds were kept. Because not only did I had one room with we kept the doves and the parakeets, and then I had a whole separate room where we had 40 or 50 pigeons, and they had their own air filtration system also. That's to take all that dust that comes off the birds, take it out of the air.
What was the hardest part of that job, of that Las Vegas job?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was. I enjoyed every part of the job. I enjoyed writing new material and rehearsing it and putting it in the show. That was always a joy. I loved doing the show and promoting the show. And
did it ever seem silly to you, the dancing girls and the glitz and the smoke?
The part that seems silly is every now and then you think, you know, there are people out there who are working really hard trying to cure cancer. There are researchers out there toiling 14 hours a day trying to cure diseases or solve the energy crisis problem, and nobody pays any attention to them. And here I am on stage in Las Vegas, and I've got my picture on the marquee, and TV shows want to interview me, and people want to applaud. And you go, what's wrong with this picture? You know, a guy doing magic tricks, getting all this attention when there are, you know, far more important things.
I would think that there would be a lot of temptations working in the Las Vegas milieu so long. Was it?
Temptations? There are, and I have seen. I tell you, I've been in Vegas since 1982, and I have seen it all. I've seen people come in and self-destruct. And fortunately, before I ever moved to Las Vegas, I lived in Los Angeles for about 9 months before I got my first gig, and I moved to Vegas. Fortunately, I had a friend who was an entertainer, and he told me a story. He got hired to work in a show. Wasn't in Vegas, but it was in one of the other cities. Maybe it was Reno or Lake Tahoe. He got hired for 8 weeks to work in a show, and they were paying him good money, and he went up there and he worked for 8 weeks. Unfortunately, he liked to play blackjack. And he would go and do his shows, and then after the shows, he would go to the blackjack table, and he would sit there for a few hours, play blackjack. And after 8 weeks, he came home, and he had the exact same amount of money that he left with because he lost every cent of his salary at the blackjack table. So if you're visiting Las Vegas, then by all means, you know, have fun and go do some gambling and see some shows and go wild for the weekend. But the rule of thumb is if you live and work here, then try to stay away from all that stuff.
What's the most important thing you know about performing magic?
You know, the thing that I always tried to keep in mind throughout my career was the guy in the audience who works for a living, who has a real job. He's not an artist. He works for the sanitation department, or he's a doctor, or he's a lawyer, or whatever job he does, he works hard for his money, and he's on vacation, and he brings his family to Las Vegas, and he's got his wife, and he's got his kids, and they want to have a good time, and they have decided to come see Lance Burton. So this guy has bought 4 tickets, and those tickets at the end were like $85 each, which to me is crazy. But they called my show a mid-price show. Can you imagine $85, and that's a mid-price show. Some of the shows here in town were going for over $100 or $200. But anyway, this guy, he's bought four tickets to see me. So he's had to get a cab or rent a car to get over there, and then had dinner for his family. So now he's got like an easy $400, $500 invested in coming in and seeing me. So when I walk out on stage, to me the most important thing is making sure that guy has a good time, and for the next 2 hours he laughs and he enjoys himself and he sees his kid go up on stage and see magic up close. And when those people walk out of that theater, I always wanted that guy to say, wow, we had a great time. This was the best night of our vacation.
Well, thanks very much, Lance Burton.
Well, you're very, very welcome. It's a pleasure talking to you.
This has been Jack Shalom for Arts Express with host Prairie Miller.